Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Hey, Michael Steele podcast listeners, Michael Steele here with another quick take from the Michael Steele podcast. Check out what's going on right now.
Welcome back, everybody, to the podcast. Michael Steele, we're having a great conversation with my man, Steve Schmidt. You know him, you love him. He is the guy that I think has his finger on the pulse on a lot of veins around the country. And so to bring the conversation in a little bit tighter, how are you assessing the Biden administration's first year, the moves that they've made, the way they've made it, the messaging, now seemingly wanting to lean into voting when, you know, that was a narrative that was pressed on him back over the summer, had success in getting the infrastructure bill done, but now still struggling with Build Back Better. Where do you see that, and how does that feed into the 2022 narrative that you were just talking about before the break?
So I think infrastructure investment, you know, and we're both, you know, born and raised East Coasters, right? Yeah. So, I mean, you know, infrastructure,
I live
in a Western state right now, right? There's going to be enormous water issues in the West, right? We have decrepit infrastructure. I think it's a historic piece of legislation. Republicans, you know, as a matter of history, built the Transcontinental Railroad, you know, the interstate highway system, right? Republicans used to be for infrastructure. So I think it's a great thing that was passed. No one's going to give the president and Democrats credit for it.
Right.
That's not how it works, right? There's this sense, right? You read some of the stuff in the Washington media coverage, right? That there's an expectation of gratitude from the American voter, right? We have
right. They're all sitting there going, oh, thank you, Uncle Joe. Right?
We've given you this and you'll enjoy it 25 years from now. I mean, you know, all over the country, there are great things that were built, right, that you can go to, you can look at, and you're like, wow, you know, I'm happy that someone had the vision and the foresight to do this, right? That, you know, rural electrification.
Yeah.
In the 1930s, right?
Yeah.
You know, the broadband equivalents, right? You know, in this, that we're going to wire the country. Great stuff, right? No one will say thank you. People vote, right, on the basis of the belief, right, that they'll punish you for taking something away from them, right?
True.
But like the idea that it's a transaction, right, is just totally, so you're not going to get credit, right? It's like trying to get a teenager to say thank you to you, right?
Right,
you know,
right.
Yeah, but yeah, it's not happening, right? So what's happening, right? What is it, right, that is happening on Fox News and across this ecosystem? They're waging a culture war that has been unresponded to, right? It's been unresponded to culturally. It's been unresponded to rhetorically, and it's been unresponded to legislatively.
Right.
Right. The nature of this moment is a dangerous one.
Yeah.
Right. The democracy is either threatened or it wasn't. I think this is part of the problem. I have always been consistent on my mark Meadows' view, which was primarily oriented around how strange the guy was, just how weird, right? The constant crying,
yeah,
and not like John Boehner sentimental.
No, it's not the sentimental.
You know, where you just like got like you know where you know that like kind of big hearted, you know, guy who just gets choked up, and, you know, more so the older you get, and,
right.
you know, you're just kind of like in the movie, even wipe away the tear, but I'm talking
just got something in my eye.
I'm just talking about like Mark Meadows. You read these accounts by him. Like if I was sitting in a meeting, I'd be like, why the fuck is that guy crying? What's wrong with him? Right. Like under pressure crying. Right. And just, so you look at these people, and they're so goofy.
Yeah.
Right. They're so goofy. There's no screenplay, no book, no plot ever imagined with the cast, right? That's so goofy. But that doesn't change the fact about the seriousness.
Yeah. Cause they're dangerous.
Of the endeavor and how dangerous all this is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so listen, we are at a dangerous moment in this country's politics that require clear elucidation and articulation. And there's a moment, like I would say, you know, what everybody who's listening, I hope they'll go, you know, after they finish, listen to Bobby Kennedy talk to a black crowd from the back of a pickup truck in Indianapolis, on April 4th, 1968, the night that Dr. King is killed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Listen to what he says. He quotes the Greek poet Aeschylus to an inner city black crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Right. There's a way to communicate, to talk to people through the prism of their dignity, through self-respect. And it was the only city in the country that didn't have riots that night as a direct link. So we have to be able to understand what's at stake.
Yeah.
What's the majesty of the country? What's the greatness of the country? What's its foundation?
So Steve, how has that become so lost on Republicans, for example, who claimed, to hold that in such high regard, which you've just described, the majesty of this country, the dignity of the various offices that are designed to help the people govern. I mean, you brought up Mark Meadows. You look at this numbnut and the efforts he undertook to not only promote but then cover up the coup attempt. And then kind of spin it off in this manner that, oh, it's no big deal. This is all part of the witch hunt, et cetera, et cetera. You know, his own text message that we've now been able to look at, pushing the president hard to condemn this shit, trying to get Trump to publicly call out the rioters. But he was part of setting in motion the very thing that got those rioters fired up in the first place. So how do we sit back and look at someone like a Joe Biden who, look, there's a lot of stuff that I can whack at on Joe in terms of policy and some of the things that have been done, but I'm not going to sit there and think that in his heart of hearts, in his efforts, he's trying to overthrow the government of the United States, or he's trying to make himself the 21st century version of Mussolini, right? We can't say that about the other guy. We can't say that about the other team. And so why has it been so hard for people? Is it really the power of Fox to sort of drown out all of the rationale in the conversation by spewing the bullshit from Tuckums every night? Is that all it takes? Or is there something, are we desperate for leaders who can come up and bring some clarity to be that light in that city on the hill that Reagan often referred to? You just laid out, you know, this articulation of the country and its ideals. And the question is, why haven't this iteration of Republicans bought into that? Why do you have the Mark Meadows pursuing a course that they know would undermine that. But then on the back end, you know, when they see it unravel the way it did on January 6th and that people were actually getting killed, then they're like, okay, we got to stop this. But then afterwards, continue in that same vein. Why did they stop believing in this ideal of America? And do we, are we as people desperate and looking for leadership that can raise that light high within the city on the hill, the way Reagan talked about it?
We have a political system, right? That's hardwired, right, by these customs and institutions and rituals and in Washington, D.C., that reset always to some concept of normalcy. So for example, right, the gridiron dinner is bipartisan. Right. What happens though? If you can't find anyone who's not a fascist, right, you know, to come, right, to represent the Republican side, right?
Right.
I mean, the institutional events, right, are all predicated on a shared belief around some, you know, certain core ideas and ideals that people have just checked out on. And You have a media that I think is hardwired, you know, to try to default back to a waypoint, a compass heading, right, mm-hmm. of some sensibility of normal, right, to try to contextualize these times, right? You know, it's one of the overriding themes that you see playing out on all these news shows is when will things get back to normal, right?
Right.
I can't exactly tell you how many executives, right, I talk to, right, at running big companies that, you know, talk about, you know, when will things get back to normal or will assert when things get back to normal, right? And the thing is, nothing ever gets back to fucking normal, ever, right? Like, nothing goes back, right?
No, it doesn't.
It goes on. Right? Like, you know, I don't know what's going to happen in 22, right? But it's going to be different from whatever the fuck happened in 2017, yeah. Right? It's different. It looks different, right? It's, you know, it's like when you go back and you watch a television show or an old Seinfeld episode from the late 1990s.
Oh, it's right? Very different.
Nothing,
yeah.
Nothing goes back.
Yeah.
Right? It goes forward. We're in this moment of becoming.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening today. Please go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review. Heck, give us 2 5-star reviews. I love it. Or catch us on Stitcher, iHeart, TuneIn, or wherever you get that podcast thing on. You know how that goes. Peace out.
All right, America. You asked for it. Or maybe you didn't, but either way, we have to talk. You're just in kind of a crazy place right now, Mr. and Mrs. USA. So, we are going to sit down a couple of times a week and work it out between us. The way Americans do. On a podcast. Hosted by Beowulf Rocklin. Weird name. Weird news. Weird politics. Weird country. Facepalm America. Listen to Facepalm America, a podcast that laughs at America and its politics, from Beowulf Rocklin, producer of The Rick Unger Show. Facepalm America, available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and wherever you download your digital distractions in audio form.